This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
We'll bring him in every Tuesday at this very time, and that is Mike Tenenbaum. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, fellas.
Well, as always, we appreciate a couple minutes, and obviously the big conversation is going to be on the Giants game last night. I know we're going to ask you about Daniel Jones in the future and what you do and if you bench him or all that, but I just want to ask you, did you think that was pass interference on the two-point conversion? Because, you know the situation. In your mind, was that a bad call by the officials after dropping the flag?
You know, philosophically, I always want to decide by the players on the field. So I would say I thought it was really close, but I'm glad they picked it up. And because if Daniel Jones, and we'll get into him in a second, guys, but if Daniel Jones makes a better throw, we're not even having this discussion.
Mike, and I said this to start the show, and I know you've said it a couple different times, but at a certain point, I think Daniel Jones is putting Joe Judge in a tough spot, because now all of a sudden you keep rolling out there, he keeps turning the football over, you start jeopardizing Joe Judge's credibility, no?
100%, and we've talked about this for several weeks, and I'm really encouraged by Joe Judge. I thought they played really well last night, and it's clear they may have hit on a head coach, and I think it's time now where if Daniel Jones doesn't stop turning the ball over, I don't know how you can keep him out there, because exactly for what you just said, Rick, which is this is really going to start impacting what the players think of Coach Judge.
Yeah, Mike, as you say that, you're talking about looking to the future when making a decision about the quarterback position. You're not talking about benching him right now, are you?
I would consider it, Chris, just because, again, as a former player, you know, if he's up there talking about accountability, penalties, and turnovers, and you're letting your quarterback get away with something, I think it hurts him. I would strongly consider playing Colt McCoy short-term, and we could get into it. I would draft Justin Fields long-term. I think Justin Fields is going to be the better quarterback over the next 10 years.
All right, Mike, so I would agree with the latter point in drafting Justin Fields if you have the opportunity to do so, but if I'm a guy in that locker room, I can't look at our quarterback situation and have any confidence that Colt McCoy is a better option to win games than Daniel Jones.
But Chris, what body of work do you have that Daniel Jones is going to win games for you, where he makes such a great throw on that late touchdown? I mean, that's an elite pass. But
yes,
on the two-point play, he has to throw the ball to the pylon. Like, the coaching point on that is you throw it to the pylon, you let the receiver get there, and if he does that, we're not having this conversation about turnovers, we're not having this conversation about PI or not, and at some point, your performance should determine whether or not you play, not where you were drafted.
Okay, so you believe that Colt McCoy gives them a better chance to win games moving forward than Daniel Jones?
I think sitting Daniel Jones becomes a force multiplier, because what it does, and we've seen this in New England for two decades, when you look to your left and to your right, and everyone is held accountable from Boyer Malloy to Richard Seymour, on and on and on, you're going to get everyone's best efforts. So maybe Daniel Jones still is a better player than McCoy, but what it does is, culturally, it makes everybody more accountable, including Andrew Thomas, their left tackle.
Mike Tenenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So you say you'd play McCoy, you'd draft Fields. Are you done, Mike? Are you done with Daniel Jones?
Yeah, and I've been criticized, and I would say somewhat fairly, for being too patient in the past. But look, I've learned from what the Arizona Cardinals did, right? They drafted Steve Wilks, was their head coach. They drafted Josh Rosen, top 10 picks. It's Wilks and Rosen for the next 10 years, and that lasted about 10 minutes. And there's four quarterbacks that I think we should have an interesting discussion about: Baker Mayfield, Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold, and Dwayne Haskins. Those four young quarterbacks were already drafted by a different head coach. I think that changes the paradigm. I think that changes how they're measured. And I think ultimately it changes their job security. So I'm not saying it's necessarily over. I don't want to overreact. But what I am saying is that Joe Judge is sitting there with a different lens than it would have been if he had drafted him.
Mike Tenenbaum joins us here on the show. So, Mike, in saying all that, why do teams consistently, you know, make the decision to do that? Like, why, if you're not sold on your head coach, you know, why put your organization in a situation where you draft the young quarterback and then, you know, a year later you're moving on from your head coach and you have a new head coach that didn't draft the quarterback? That'd make any sense.
Yeah, Rick, that's why continuity rules. Like, look at New England, look at Pittsburgh, the teams that have sustainability, look at Seattle. Those teams, it's the same head coach and front office for years, years, and years, and that gives you your best chance, because teams are going to make mistakes, you're going to make bad picks, but you know, once you have your leadership locked in, it gives you a chance to survive that. And again, sometimes quarterbacks do take time to develop. But my point is, one, the things that they're asking Daniel Jones to do to get better, he's not getting better. And secondly, Joe Judge, from an evaluation standpoint, may never, he might not even have liked them when he came out.
Mm-hmm. Mike, I want to try to focus on some of the positives that came out of last night's game. I thought the defense flew around, guys making plays. James Bradbury stepped up. Leonard Williams is putting together a fine season. He had a sack last night, created a lot of pressure on Tom Brady. What do you make of the job that Patrick Graham, their defensive coordinator, did last night and his overall body of work as the DC for the Giants?
Yeah, look, my arrow's up on them and really on the whole program from a standpoint, how they played, how competitive they were. I thought the offensive line got better. And I think what Patrick Graham did is what you have to do against Tom Brady is you have to change things up. You can't give him the same look. You have to make him uncomfortable to the extent that you can. And I thought they hung in there. They made enough plays. They weren't perfect, but, it's hard to be perfect against Tom Brady. So Patrick Graham is a young coach, and I think he's done a good job so far.
So trade deadline is today, Mike. If you're the Giants, what are you doing? Are you moving on from Zeitler? Are you moving on from Tate? I'd ask if you're moving on from Engram as well, but it sounds like they're going to absolutely stay with him for at least another season. So what would you do? If you're GM of the Giants, what moves would you make today?
Yeah, I would consider Zeitler because I think he's an aging, declining, expensive player that you're paying for past performance. I'd put a lot of resources into getting Engram better. And possibly Tate, I would move on, but I wouldn't just give them away indiscriminately, guys. And, when I look at Slayton and Stripper, I don't think the cupboard's empty by any stretch. So, Tate, because of age, I would consider it, but I would certainly hold on to Ingram.
Mike Tannenbaum joins us here on the show. Mike, I don't know if it was the Giants just had a great game plan and executed it last night. If Tampa was looking ahead to, the Saints, they didn't have Chris Godwin. Are you still looking at this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team as the best team in the NFC?
I am. I think they're only going to get better because Antonio Brown, I think they become almost indefensible when you get into the red zone. When they go 11 personnel, which is three wide receivers, and Chris Godwin comes back and you have him, Mike Evans, Antonio Brown, and Rob Gronkowski. I just don't know how you defend that. You have to play zone. And when you play zone against Tom Brady, he's going to find the open man. So, look, Seattle's playing exceptionally well. Green Bay has its issues. But, New Orleans is leading that conversation. But for one game, I'm going to take Tampa Bay.
Mike, our very own Chris Mortensen is reporting that the league could go to a 16-team playoff tournament if there are regular season games that are canceled due to the coronavirus. Now, I know this is a hypothetical, this is an if-then-when situation, but what are your thoughts on expanding an already expanded playoff field if we're not able to get in some regular season games?
Yeah, ordinarily, Chris, I would be against it, but look, everything this year is so weird and unusual, and you try and get into like a fairness situation, and if you can, that's just one of those things where it seems like I find baseball by and large got it right, where they had the expanded playoffs and it worked. So I don't think it's ideal, Chris, by any stretch. I'm a little bit more of a traditionalist, but that's why 16 regular season games are so meaningful in pro football. But in this situation, I can understand why the league would decide to do that.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. We've avoided the Jets, but let's get into the Jets here. look, talent-wise, they're just not that talented. We know they can't compete with the big boys in the NFL, but it looks like the effort might not be there, and we're halfway through the season. Do you see that, Mike? I mean, Kansas City could have done anything they wanted on Sunday against this team.
Yeah, I was disappointed. When you compare the Jets to the Giants, it was clear the Giants were, in some ways, overmatched as well, especially when you talk about how good that Tampa Bay defensive line is. I thought they played with effort and tempo. I think the Jets and Spurts have played competitive football. I thought the first half against Buffalo in particular was encouraging. I thought they would have to have done something out of the box, Dave, maybe go to a three tight end set or something to control the line of scrimmage against Kansas City. And it was disappointing.
Mike Tannenbaum joins us here in the show. Mike, a lot of questions now. I mean, it was the game of the week, and if it wasn't for Lamar Jackson turning the football over, Baltimore probably ends up winning that football game. But, I mean, does Baltimore have a problem moving forward? I mean, do they need a number one wide receiver? Like, what's wrong with Baltimore when they play good teams like the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Yeah, I just don't know about Lamar Jackson yet. He's a guy that right now is 31st in the NFL in terms of pressure rate, meaning times that he's hit, pressured, or sacked. And what teams are going to do is they're going to rip his heart out with what he does poorly until he can fix it. And that's something that, look, they drafted Marquise Brown out of Oklahoma in the first round, which I thought that was a great pick. And they're going to have to get him involved, because until they do that, he's going to see every blitz known to mankind.
Mike, how do you explain what happened to the Titans in Cincinnati? I mean, losing to Joe Burrow, a rookie quarterback, when you're one of the teams that people are considering a contender in the AFC. Help me understand that one.
Yeah, I was shocked with all the games. I thought Joe Burrow outplayed Ryan Tannehill this week, and you know, I think Burrow's arrow is up, and I think they hit big on that. That was, to me, maybe the biggest upset of the week.
How do the Chargers keep losing these games? They have comfortable leads. They're blowing teams out, 17 points, beating up on Denver. Denver's not very good, and in the end of the day, they just fall apart. I mean, how does this keep happening to this team?
You know, Dave, I think long and hard about it. I think it's me. You know, I'm friends with Coach Quinn, who's in Atlanta. I'm friends with Coach Lynn, who's in L.A. You know, we've all worked together before, so I don't know what it is. I mean, Anthony Lynn's a great coach. I think he understands, you know, clock management, the basics of the game. And it's, I don't know, you know, they had a big lead. You know, I think sometimes, like, one of the things saying back the last 2 years watching these games, guys, is you really do have to – like, keep scoring points. And I know that sounds so basic and fundamental, guys, but what my point is, like, what got you that three-score lead, like, keep that mindset. Because I used to be a little bit more of pass to score and run to win, and obviously we had a lot of success in New York with, you know, Rex and ground and pound, but just the way the rules are different now, like, teams can come back way too quickly, and, you know, we're just seeing that more and more. So I think the mindset that you have to have from a clock management standpoint is, unless it's way out of reach, keep scoring, keep going empty, keep going no huddle, even with a 2 or 3 score lead. And look, with Justin Herbert, they're scoring a lot of points.
Mike Tannenbaum joins us here on the show. Potentially my last question, Mike. Were you surprised? Were you surprised to hear Bill Belichick say what he said, to admit that they were all in, and now, yeah, you know, because of salary cap and everything else, they're paying the price?
It's interesting, Rick. You know, I was just asked that on Get Up with Greeny. Look, I had the good fortune of working for Coach Belichick twice, and I would tell you that what we saw was, you know, transparency, frustration. You know, they were 12 yards away from being Buffalo with no Gilmore and no Edelman, and I think you got a little authenticity there. You know, somebody that is the ultimate competitor, you know, maybe the greatest coach ever in the history of our sport, who was just incredibly frustrated and transparent.
Mike, I know we got a lot of football left, so I guess anything is possible. But just, you know, trusting your eyes, are the Miami Dolphins in this thing to compete for the AFC East?
I'll tell you what, you look at their defense. We've talked about it before. They're playing really well. They got two corners in Xavier Howard and Byron Jones that can play man-to-man, so they can bring pressure. And, you know, when you watch them play, it certainly implies what Coach Flores wants to do. So I think their defense probably doesn't get the credit they deserve. And, you know, we'll see, obviously, how their young quarterback develops. But defensively, it's certainly going to carry them a long way.
What happened to Green Bay this weekend? I mean, they're rolling along. Their offense looks terrific. We know that their running back is out. But, I mean, just stunned that they got beat up at home by Dalvin Cook in Minnesota. They got run out of the building in that game.
Yeah, their defense is really struggling. When you look at their front seven, like, their linebackers are just below average right now. And, you know, talked about looking at guys like Quan Alexander, who gets traded, and, you know, some of these recent trades that were made on the defensive side of the ball. Look, Preston Smith's a great player as a Darius Smith, but their front seven just hasn't played as well, and I was surprised how poorly they played.
All right, I lied, Mike. I do have one more question. I apologize. You mean, you're so good today. I can feel the energy. All the X2 just seeping through your body. I don't want to, you know, beat a dead horse about Adam Gase and everything else, but I want to ask you, in your own opinion, with what the Jets have on this team, which isn't much, would you, if you were picking the next head coach, would you go with someone like Eric Bieniemy, who hasn't been a head coach, or do you think the Jets would be better served having their new head coach being someone that's had past experience?
Yeah, you know, philosophically, I don't like to talk about people who's, you know, there's not a job open there. But generally speaking, I would tell you Eric Bieniemy should be in every discussion. But okay, I would also put Todd Bowles in that discussion based on how well that Tampa Bay defense is doing. So I would, you know, and I know he's been with New York, but I think Bieniemy and Bowles should be at the top of any list.
Mr. T, last question for me. I mean, with the high ankle sprain that's supposed to keep him out the next 6 weeks, have we seen the end of Jimmy Garoppolo in a 49ers uniform?
I don't think so. He just took a team to a Super Bowl. So,
okay.
I, I think he has a little bit more time left, but you know, the window is certainly closing.
All right, Mike. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but you sound energized. You sound effervescent. Why would that be? Tell me why.
Well, thanks, Dave. It's I do take X2 All Natural Energy, which I appreciate Rick mentioning, and it's an all natural energy drink that you can get at x2performance.com, so I appreciate you asking.
Absolutely. All right, stay hydrated, please. We appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
As always, guys, great to be with you.
That, of course, is the terrific Mike Tenenbaum giving us the analysis around the NFL. And, guys, he thinks the Giants should move on from Daniel Jones. You could hear it. That's what he's that was the underlying theme of that conversation there.
Yeah, because we've seen it. The problem is that we've seen it work. I mean, that's why I think everyone is – I mean, you heard Shefty's report that the reason they put two in when they put two in because they get, I mean, they have the Texans' first-round pick.
Right. They want to know whether they have the quarterback or not.
Exactly right. So, I mean, you saw it work in Arizona where one year Josh Rosen – they get rid of him, bring in Kingsbury and Kyler Murray, and
Washington's already decided they're done, right? They're going to need their market for a new quarterback.
You can, I mean, they're looking to trade Haskins now.
They can't get anything for him.
It's just it's fundamentally a ridiculous idea to draft the quarterback if you have questions about your head coach. It makes no sense, none, because like, listen, Mike's right. I mean, Joe Judge might not even like Daniel Jones, and this is only
not his guy.
It's not his guy, and then on top of it now, I mean, just it's every. I mean, Daniel Jones has at least one turnover in 20 of his 21 appearances. That's too many, Dave.
It's hard to do.
It's not good, but I understand where you guys are coming from. If things continue to trend in the direction that they're going, then yeah, you're going to move off of Daniel Jones after the season, or at least find another quarterback that can come in and be serious competition, and it could be somebody that will be your future franchise guy. I just don't see the upside to benching him right now and letting Colt McCoy play the remainder of the games.
I agree with you on that.
I just that's the part of it that just doesn't make sense to me. And I know how you feel about it, Rick, and I heard what Mike Tenenbaum said. To me, I have a hard time coming to grips with that just because I don't think Colt McCoy gives you a better chance to win games. And ultimately, that's the part of the messaging that you're concerned with in terms of the credibility from your head coach to his players in the locker room.
Yeah, but I think that would all be dependent on what Joe Judge really thinks behind closed doors, what him and Jason Garrett think about Daniel Jones. And do they feel like they're doing damage to what they're building here by keep? Because I don't disagree with that. I think that Daniel Jones, talent-wise, brings much more to the table than Colt McCoy. But, you know, do you think maybe long-term that if we don't, you know, if we go a couple more games and we have these same issues, like, is now long-term this going to affect how guys in that locker room look at me and what I'm trying to sell them?
I would say that the losing probably has more to do with that than anything else. But I feel like the Giants with Daniel Jones have a chance to get some wins in the remaining eight games. Like, they got a game coming up this week against Washington. I think they have a legitimate chance of winning that game. The game against Philadelphia, they were right there on Thursday night at the link. It could be different at home. Like, there's some Cincinnati on the road after the bye week. Like, there are opportunities for them to be competitive and to be in games. So let's see what happens in those games with Daniel Jones as the quarterback. Because I just feel like he gives you the best chance to win games right now.
Yeah, you can say that, but right now he's the reason that you're losing these games. So,
yeah,
I mean, at some point that has to change. Because, I mean, it's not just the losses. So a lot of it, too, is how you lose and how that loss is ingested by the guys in that locker room.
Oh, yeah, you ain't got to tell me that. But what I'm saying is those guys in the locker room also go to practice every single day, and they see Daniel Jones and they see Colt McCoy. And to a man, they all know, yeah, this Daniel Jones dude, that's a better option than Colt McCoy. I was on a team when we tried to march out, for God's sakes, we tried to march out Brooks Bollinger.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Giant Stadium. That didn't go so well. Like, we knew. Like, we didn't have a chance with that guy as our quarterback. So I'm just saying that whole benching him right now, I just feel like that would be premature.
All right, guys, today on ESPN Daily, Doc Rivers takes us behind the scenes to tell the story of how and why athletes turn their attention to voting in 2020 on ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. Rick, are you ready?
Oh, you know I'm ready.
I mean, this is your time to shine.
This is my stump.
This is your time. Your football team's 0-8. The Giants are 1-7.
It's such.
I mean, I'm stating fact. You went 1-2 in your picks this week.
I got Todd Bowles coming back.
I mean, what was that? Could you imagine if the Jets brought Todd Bowles back to coach this team?
No, I cannot.
I would go Bieniemy or Todd Bowles. Wait, what? Talked about it earlier. I want to give it another mention. It's the Michael Kay Show's 20 and 20 contest continues today, 3 o'clock. The Michael Kay Show has talked to the biggest sports celebrities in the game, and all you have to do is recognize their voice. They're going to play a clip of audio from a prior guest. You're going to call it and guess which guest that is. And when you're correct, then you win glorious prizes. Make sure you're listening for your chance at 20 great prizes over 20 days to make your home life a little more enjoyable. Today it's National Sandwich Day, and the guys are giving away a Weber Charcoal Smoker. It's the 20 and 20 contest brought to you by PC Richard & Son, Kansas City Steak, the Bartesian Premium Cocktails on Demand, and 98.7 ESPN. It's really not a contest. It's more of a giveaway, like you mentioned earlier, Rick.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Because 2020, I mean, that's what we need right now.
Yeah, this is not a good year. Not a good year. So, today's National Sandwich Day, which I was unaware of. What would be your go-to sandwich?
My go-to sandwich?
If you could have a sandwich for lunch today, what would it be?
Oh, my goodness. That I'm making for myself at home. I'm not going out to get the sandwich.
Well, I mean, either or. Like, do you find that you would get a different sandwich if you went out to a deli than you would for your home that you would make?
Yeah.
All right, let's say you go to a deli. Your favorite deli right now.
Italian.
You walk in.
I'm going to get a giant Jersey Mike's Italian is what I'm going to do.
Giant Jersey Mike. You love Jersey Mike's.
Oh, it was fantastic last time. Freshly cut. You know what I like, too, is the cold cuts are nice and thinly sliced, too. What I like to do is you get the vinegar and the oil and the seasoning, and then I let it sit in the wrapper for a couple extra minutes. Let that seep into the bread nice. Oh.
Delicious. Where would you go, Chris? What would your sandwich on National Sandwich Day be?
Sandwich on National Sandwich Day. You know what, Dave? I'll keep it basic, man. I'll go with the grilled cheese and add some bacon.
Oh. Now, do you go bacon on the grilled cheese or on the side?
No, on the grilled cheese.
That's a ridiculous question. Well,
Why is it a ridiculous question?
Bacon on the side. What kind of animal are you?
Because that's unheard of.
No, it's not unheard of. But why? What are you going to get the bacon on the side? Just put it in the grilled cheese.
I'm asking a question. Some people like bacon to be their own. To be you get all a bacon, by egg, itself.
Do you get a bacon, egg, and cheese with bacon on with the bacon on the side?
Yeah.
Do you get the bacon, egg, and cheese?
All right, forget it. You know, do your stupid CMT.
Could I get a chicken cutlet but with the chicken cutlet on the side? It's just not a sandwich.
That doesn't make sense. You could get bacon on the side.
Yeah, but he said, I want the grilled cheese with the bacon on it. Not the grilled cheese with the bacon on the plate next to it.
All right, so your goal on National Election Day is to demean everyone.
Your sandwich? Tell me what your sandwich is.
No, forget it. I'm done.
No, I want to know. I want to know.
Because mine would be too good. You wouldn't be able to handle my sandwich.
I think I know what your sandwich is because we had to create our own sandwich?
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you my sandwich.
Yeah.
I'll tell you my sandwich. All right.
Let me take my shirt off. Okay.
All right, go ahead. You ready?
Yep, I'm good.
Okay. I want rye, preferably toasted. Turkey and roast beef. Ooh. Roast beef must be rare, but not too rare. Coleslaw, Russian dressing. Done. Done.
See, I think you got to grill that. I think we got to grill that.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
What's on a cookie?
Now we grill that sandwich, and it's that's
a sandwich.
Oh, that's a sandwich is right.
That's a sandwich.
Now, if I'm making my sandwich at home, I recently made a Sunday sauce, so I got some meatballs hanging around. I probably go meatball little.
Where's the beef?
No moots. Melting. Oh, delicious. All right, can I ask a quick question before we start, CMT?
Yeah,
please.
This
is for Canty. This is for Canty, because just in my experience playing hockey, when you're done playing hockey, especially at the professional level, because you got a nice facility, you tend to jump in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see Tua's post-game press conference? Did he not shower?
I think he just threw a shirt on to do the press conference.
Yeah, he was not showered.
Yeah,
that was the shirt he wore into the game. If he likes to shower at home, I don't know.
He probably showered out. He might have showered after that, though, Rico.
Yeah, but why would you put your dress shirt, the shirt you wore to the game, like that? Why wouldn't you just put like a sweatshirt on?
That's a good point.
If I just played a game, I wouldn't throw my dress shirt on.
I'm not throwing my good clothes on. Yeah, you just get the equipment guys to give you a team issue shirt.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Give me a hoodie or something.
All right, you ready for CMT?
Yeah, I just thought that was weird. All right, here we go. I think this is an interesting question.
Now, quickly, you out there would like to participate in CMT, at Rothenberg ESPN at the end, if they're good, you just might make it on air. Rick, please.
Yeah, like bacon on the side. This is sandwiches, not side wars. All right, here we go. Best quarterback wide receiver duo currently residing in the NFL. I'm going to give you Aaron and Devontae Adams, Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf. And I had two here, but I had to whittle it down, and I went with the better quarterback.
You're going to go Mahomes and Tyreek, aren't you?
Yeah, I also had – because I had Murray and Hopkins, because Hopkins is that good as a wide receiver, but I'll go Mahomes and Hill.
All right. Interesting. Not easy. I will start. I'm going to marry Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
Because there's not even other guys you look at on that team and you say, we have to slow him down. It's all Devontae, and they still can't slow him down. He's unbelievable, as is Rodgers. That's my Mary. I will cuddle Mahomes and Hill.
Bombs and hellacious season.
And I don't feel that strongly about it. The only reason I'll do it is because Metcalf is, like, he's brand new to being great. Like, I feel it was the end of last year, start of this year. I think Hill has a little more that he's been great with. So I will trash Wilson Metcalf. You could ask me the same question a year from now, and it could be completely different. But as of right now, that's the trio I'm going with.
Yeah, Dave, I would like to disagree with you, but I can't. The one thing that I will say is I think that Seattle tandem will have a little bit more longevity in terms of top-end production than that Kansas City group, just because I don't know how long Tyreek Hill is going to be the fastest player in the NFL.
Let
I don't know how long that can last.
You're asking for right now, though, yes? Or you're asking for
I'm
future?
Saying right now. Yeah.
Dave, I'm agreeing with you. I agree across the board. The only thing I will say is, and I'm agreeing with you in this regard, too, next year could be completely different. All I'm saying is, in terms of top-end production, you'll probably get more longevity out of DK and Russ than you will out of Pat Mahomes with Tyreek Hill.
I agree with that. I completely agree with that. And I don't actually, I mean, I like Tyreek Hill. I don't look at him as a top three receiver in football. But with Mahomes, it's tough to not put him there.
Yeah, because of the quarterback. All right, here we go. Best Week 8 performance. I'm going to give you Dalvin Cook. Had 30 carries for 163. Had 63 receiving yards and 4 TDs. I'm going to give you DK Metcalf, who had 12 for 161 and 2 TDs. And I'm going to give you the Dolphins defense and special teams for best Week 8 performance.
Okay, so I'm going to marry the Dolphins
if
defense.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry.
Just because that's exactly what you needed to support a young quarterback in his first start. Like, in order to get the Tua time, you know, underway successfully in Miami, you needed that defense and the special teams, which is comprised of mostly defensive players, to be able to contribute in a big way, and they did that. They gave you 2 touchdowns, and you might as well call it 3 with Kyle Van Noy returning that fumble to the goal line. So I'm going to marry that. I am going to cuddle Dalvin Cook's performance against a division opponent
Bombs
on the road.
I
mean, the dude had 230 yards from scrimmage and 4 touchdowns, the first Vikings player to have 4 touchdowns since Ahmad Rashad. So, yeah, I got to cuddle that, and I'm going to respectfully discard what DK Metcalf did against the 49ers. But that was an unbelievable performance coming off of a game where he was really non-existent against the Cardinals.
All right. Outside of one of the great plays we've ever seen with chasing down Buda Baker, I will agree. I'm going to trash DK Metcalf. He's great. He had a terrific game. But guys have games like that across the NFL. It happens. It wasn't completely shocking. So I'll trash him.
You wouldn't trash him to his face, I'll tell you that.
Well, he chased me wherever
Dave
I was.
Dave certainly wouldn't do that.
No. He'd rub his feet.
I would rub them beautifully. Yeah. Oils and lotions, whatever he wanted. But
Hot oil?
Yeah. You want stones on there. All right. But I'm 3,000 miles away. I feel safe to run away from DK Metcalf where I am. I will cuddle Miami.
Bombs.
Great
and
performance.
Hellacious seeds.
Elite defensive performance. Exactly what they needed. Because let's be honest, Tua was not great in that game. So I will cuddle Miami. Dalvin Cook, you could say that that's one of the great performances you'll see all season long. 4 touchdowns, 200 plus yards. I mean, receiving touchdowns, running touchdowns, completely changed the dynamic of that football game. That goes down as one of the great performances of the season. I will marry it for that reason.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
Would you call DK Metcalf Superman while you rubbed his feet?
Sure.
All right, here we go. Next one. Most likely to start first. Alex Smith, Mitch Trubisky, Colt McCoy.
All right, I'm going to trash Colt McCoy. I don't understand why you would, and I don't think they will. That's easy for me. I'm going to cuddle Mitchell Trubisky.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
They're the same team. I mean, you take out Trubisky, you put in Foles, it's the same thing. Their offense is awful. So I'll cuddle Mitch. And I'll marry Alex Smith for a couple reasons.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
It might be the best story in all of football this season. The guy recovering from almost losing the leg to being able to play at this level. And, I mean, God knows what this quarterback – Haskins already out of the equation. God knows what Allen is capable of doing. I will marry Alex Smith.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Dave across the board. I don't think that the Giants are going to bench Daniel Jones for Colt McCoy. Mitch Trubisky, maybe he has a shot at playing at some point during the season, but I don't know. I think that Matt Nagy has moved on from Mitch Trubisky, and for that reason, you're probably not going to see him again. And then, Alex Smith, great story. They're probably not going to play Dwayne Haskins again in Washington, and Kyle Allen is going to struggle again at some point. So, Alex Smith, that's the guy that I got to marry in that group.
Yeah, Kyle Allen does have the Dolphin hands. Here we go. Most likely to be traded at the deadline today. David Njoku, Will Fuller, or Golden Tate?
Okay, I am going to... I'm going to trash Njoku, man. He's made noise the last couple of years about wanting out of Cleveland, and they haven't seemed like they had any interest in moving him. I just don't think that happens today. So I'll trash him. I will cuddle Golden Tate.
Bombs
and I know that them playing last night kind of complicates things. They mentioned it on the broadcast with trying to potentially rework the deals of some of these players that could be on the move because teams want to make sure that they can roll over as much cap space as they possibly can in the 2021. So I just think that Golden Tate things becomes a little bit trickier because he's got years left on that contract. I will marry Will Fuller. And I don't think the Texans will make this their first choice of receivers that they would want to trade, but I think he's the receiver that would have the most value around the league. So I'll marry him.
All right. I agree across the board. Njoku, Tate, Fuller in that order.
All right, boys, there you have it. I'm going to go during the break get a BLT with the bacon on the side.
No, I think that's the way to go. By the way, nobody needs tomato on that thing. Nobody.
No, give me that. No, give me tomato. Give me the BT with some. Give me. I want BT
extra,
and some mayo.
Extra B.
And some mayo.
And it's got to be crispy. Burn the bacon. Burn it.
Ah, crispy bacon. Kidding me?
All right. Want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. Just click listen live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app. Or simply tell your smart speaker, hey, play 98.7 ESPN. At 98.7 ESPN New York, we go where you go. Tonight, 7 o'clock ESPN, College Football Playoff Top 25 presented by Chick-fil-A. 8 o'clock, the 2020 Rawlings Gold Glove Award Show. Rick, did you see that DeGrom is a finalist for the Cy Young Award yet again?
Yet again.
Now, he's not going to win it this year.
No.
But just to be a bottom. Finalist is pretty amazing.
I mean, he's amazing. I take him
most consistent
anyway.
Pitcher in baseball.
Yep, agreed.
And DJ LeMahieu, Chris, for your side of things, was one of three finalists for the AL MVP this year.
Well deserved, Dave. Yeah, I mean, can you make an argument against it?
I don't think he'll win it, but no, being
no,
a
I'm not saying I'm not saying not. No, I'm not saying that he'll win it. What I'm saying is him being up for the award.
No, he's great.
That's
what
I'm
he
saying.
Like 365 this year.
Yeah, he's unbelievable, man.
He really
DJ
is.
LeMahieu is a machine.
He's sensational. Yeah, we'll see if the Yankees break the bank to keep him. Now you received a call moments ago. I'm told.
Yeah, speaking of machines, Jonathan Lease from Marlboro, New Jersey, actually works at the Ferrari dealership of Central New Jersey in Edison and put it out there because he's a fan of the show that he wants me to come by and see if I can fit in a Ferrari. So we have to make a thing of that as a show. Yeah, see if I can actually fit in one.
That's great. Now, I wonder how long you could borrow it for. Like, if you did fit in it, could you have it for the weekend?
That would be nice. That would be nice.
That would be nice.
That would be nice.
See?
They got to show us some, they got to show us some love, man. Show us a little bit of love.
How great would that be?
That would be nice to have some a Ferrari to roll around in for the weekend.
Oh, yeah, I can't imagine. See, I can't imagine myself fitting in a Rolls Royce. There's no way I would fit in a Rolls Royce.
I challenge any dealer to take me up on that.
There's no way I get in a Wraith. There's no chance I get in one of those.
Oh, man.
I'd love to see you get into a Rolls Royce. I'd feel good for
you. I would, honestly.
You'd be so happy.
I would be so happy, but I would drive out to New Jersey just to watch Candy try to wedge himself into a Ferrari. I would love it.
I'm going to make it happen, Rick. I'm going to get in the Ferrari.
What happens if you take it out?
There's no way I would give you the satisfaction of saying that I don't fit into a Ferrari.
I've seen this movie. I'm going to get in that dress. I'm telling you, I'm going to get into this dress.
They're going to have to chop them out of that thing. Hack him out of that thing. All right, on National
Rick, I'm telling you, man,
Day.
Larry Allen got in a Ferrari. If Larry Allen can do it, I can do it too.
The thing he's not telling you is he's never been heard from since he got into the Ferrari.
He's still in it.
Nobody's ever seen Larry Allen since that moment. Uncle Lou tweets in on National Sandwich Day. Best sandwich, CMT. Philly cheesesteak, Italian combo, or Cuban sandwich?
They will take the Philly cheesesteak with the steak on the side.
I wouldn't eat the Philly cheesesteak. I don't enjoy them.
You don't like a Philly cheesesteak?
Nah, because I don't like Philadelphia.
Just the cheesesteak. Forget
the
Philadelphia.
I mean, that's what they love. They eat that at the vet. I don't want any part of it.
But here's the thing, though, Rico. I don't like the cheese whiz, though. I like I need real provolone, onions, the mushrooms. Like, that's how I have
to. Give me
the
Italian combo. Oh, delicious. Give me the Italian combo. We'll back 8:55. More of this hijinks, laughter. Be safe and vote.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.